Money Talk.
This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on factors behind gold and silver price fluctuations. The participants are Sharad Kohli, Chandrasekhar Tilak, and Vishal Dahiya, economic analyst. Moderator is Lalima Anija Dank, anchor.
Gold and silver prices have seen new highs in the last few months. Gold particularly has seen unprecedented rise in the backdrop of global uncertainty. And silver prices have soared too, so much so that people have been asking, is silver the new gold? Well, for more analysis on this, we are today joined by economic analysts. A warm welcome to all our guests in the program. Sharadji, let's begin with you. How have gold and silver prices behaved over the past 1 year? I mean, of course, we've seen a lot of rise, but what do you see, any particular trend which stands out?
Well, I think this rise has been stupendous. Well, a lot of people in this generation probably have not seen this kind of rise. And gold itself, as we stand today, stands to gain about 45% in this year itself. And number of factors, you know, people start wondering as to what suddenly happened to gold and silver. They used to be steady precious metals and they were considered as long-term assets, you know, and what suddenly started happening, which evinced the interest, Lalima, of not just investors, homemakers, housewives, or people who've traditionally been storing gold, getting jewelry made or keeping those bars and coins of Lakshmi Ganesh on Diwali or Dhanteras. Yeah. You know, it has suddenly evinced the interest of traders. Mm. It has suddenly evinced the interest of the funds. It has suddenly evinced the interest of, most importantly, Lalima, the central banks around the world. I think that has been a very, very strong driving force. Central bank, as we speak, Lalima, I am referring to parallels of Reserve Bank of India, like Federal Reserve in America. We are talking of Bank of England in England. They are the parallels of Reserve Bank of India. So massive buying by central banks and filling up their currency coffers, substituting US dollars for precious metals, you know, that has been, especially gold, has been a very, very landmark phenomena, I would say, because central banks around the world seem to have lost their confidence on US dollar. They now feel that US dollar is not as strong value measure as it used to be for all these years. And you know, this is what we say, we call this as gold standard sort of coming back. Gold standard before 1971, you know, when Richard Nixon was the president of America, there used to be gold standard. And the gold standard meant that, you know, your currency value, the strength of your economy was determined by the quantum of gold that your central banks held as part of reserves.
Yes.
So it is now being believed that gold standard may come back. And a lot of countries who were invested in the US Treasury bonds over all these years, having a lot of faith and trust on US dollar, have suddenly started switching those investments to gold. So I think massive, and when central banks buy, they don't buy 10 grams or 20 grams the way me and you go and buy on a Dhanteras or a wedding. You know, when we go and buy probably a ring or a bangle or something, they don't do like that. They buy in tons.
Yes.
And they have been massively accumulating gold. So that has been a very strong driving force.
All right. Chandrasekharji, what are the main global or economic factors driving the recent fluctuations in these metals? Of course, there is a geopolitical situation and there is, as we just mentioned, Sharadji mentioned, confidence in the US dollar. What else?
You snatched the words from my mouth. To be honest, gold has always been a commodity, not only a precious commodity, but it is always a geopolitical and ecopolitical commodity rather than a socio-political commodity. If you realize, or if you are ready to go back even more than 5 years, to be honest, this upward rise has started not only because of some sort of a non-belief in US dollars, but the earliest trigger to it was a corona in 2020. Hmm. During that corona period, there was no movement of money and international liquidity surplus needed to be stored. At that point of time, more than 100 central banks over the world have started investing in bulk in gold. Hmm. And since then, for last 5 years or so, globally as well as locally, gold has always seen a buying interest in bulk, whereas a selling pressure is virtually a nil. If not nil, it is certainly at a sporadic moment, number one. And number two, it is in a less quantity. Hmm. And besides non-faith or unfaith kind of a thing in the US dollar, US needs to be responsible for it. Because as all of us are quite aware, gold is not only reserve currency kind of a scenario, but gold always run parallel to a basket of a select currency. Mm-hmm. And when for one reason or the other, America started banning the usage of dollars by the major commodity market players like Russia and China, the parallel currencies started taking into the place. And ban on a cryptocurrency as a measure of settlement by China, who rules a global commodity market, virtually diverted the entire currency market business, especially in a parallel currency like crypto, towards gold. Mm-hmm. Because gold is basically a least perishable commodity and can be dealt in bulk at a least count of a margin amount. And banking reforms in emerging markets like our country has also contributed the same, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, as Sharadji rightly said, as on date, for last three and a half years or so, rather more also, more than 7 places can be located where a situation like a war has taken place. And whenever we are talking about gold, I'm always reminded of an old movie of 1970s, and that is Magnus Gold. Yes. In that movie, there is one famous dialogue where it is stated that gold, coal, and oil are not only the geographical neighbors, but they are the commercial compatriots. Right. For one reason or the other, the prices in oil and coal have remained stable, and entire trading interest has shifted to a precious metal. And as far as last few weeks are concerned, a counter of a rare earth minerals and their exports and extraction is also resulting as far as the gold price hikes are concerned. So to be honest, as far as my personal opinion is concerned, which can be debated further in a later course of this discussion, that now gold is acting more as eco-political weapon rather than a commercial commodity market player.
Right. So probably countries are finding security in amassing gold, something which in India, 100%. Traditionally we've been doing. You know, our temples, we used to donate gold and they were as a good standby for severe economic crisis. And that's amazing. Vishalji, our country is now trading with many other countries in rupee, our own currency. And that has also led to the weakening of dollar somewhat. And a weak dollar would also mean an increase in gold prices. Is that how we see?
Well, yes, indeed. That's the logical conclusion here as well. Whenever the dollar is weak, we see gold prices going up. Mm-hmm. Whenever the dollar starts getting stronger, the gold prices also, you know, start responding to that and they start coming down. But dollar is not the only yardstick with which we can calculate the movement of the gold prices. In fact, gold is a non-yielding commodity and it largely thrives in an atmosphere where there is economic uncertainty or challenges in the overall economic scenario. If the challenges are building up slowly and slowly, the gold prices will also start rising slowly and slowly. But if there is a sudden surge in the economic challenges, then we might see sudden surge in the prices of the yellow metal, that is the gold as well. And that's what we have seen in the past 8 to 10 months. There have been, if I'm not wrong, there have been almost 50% rise this year till October 20th or 21st when the gold was at its highest level. But since then, there has been a drop of approximately 10%. Now, the reason why this is happening is because in the past 10, 12 odd days, all those economic challenges which we were talking about earlier, in terms of trade wars or the tariff war between two major economies, that is United States and China, seems to be ebbing down now because US and China seems to have reached a particular agreement. That is something which seemingly is having a lot of impact on the gold prices right now. That is one reason. And of course, you know, the rising stature or trend of the dollar. Also, the hawkish stand by the US Fed Reserve in terms of not being able to cut rates and all further. That also adds on to the entire pandemonium surrounding the gold prices. And that is why it seems to react the way it reacts. So we can see perhaps a slight more correction in the gold prices mm-hmm. before it settles down. And before we see more changes in the dollar index, one. And two, maybe some more economic challenges to the global community lying around the corner.
What would you advise to people who are still waiting for gold prices to come down to invest?
Waiting is something which is not a very good option and a positive option when we are talking about investments either in stock markets or in gold as well, because you will never be able to time the market or time the prices. The good idea is if there is a dip, and you have the wherewithal, you want to invest, then you should invest on the dip. If there is a dip, then there is always be a upward tick as well. So be patient, be prepared, but please do not try to time the market or time the pricing curve of any commodity, especially gold.
Make hay while the sun shines.
Yes.
Or make hay while the gold shines. Moving on, Sharadji, how does inflation and the interest rate changes typically affect gold and silver prices, and particularly now?
Yes, Lalima, every time the interest rates fall down, every time the interest rates come down, gold is considered as a safe haven investment. And every time the rate falls, gold starts rising because that is considered as a long-term bet. And, every time there is a risk around the world, there is uncertainty around the somehow gold and silver, they love uncertainty. They love, when there's high risk. They also love when there is disturbance of peace around the world. And you did mention about geopolitical. So I would like to throw some light on the geopolitical aspect also. As we speak today, the Russia-Ukraine conflict has got aggravated. Although when President Trump, I remember, came to power, he said he'll probably be able to stop it in 24 hours. He's made efforts, but they don't seem to have worked out. Mm-hmm. And today, I think the use of word nuclear, the use of the word world war, these words you hear more often than not. So every time you hear these words, it creates a wave of uncertainty. It creates a wave of risk around the world. When you see uncertainty in the vicinity, I would say, or when you see risk in the vicinity, you tend to collect gold. And for the information of listeners of Akashvani, I would also like to say, Lalima, that as we speak today, about 220,000 tons of gold has been mined. And it is said that there is another 50,000 to 100,000 tons of gold which remains to be mined, which probably would be mined in 15 to 20 years. That's unless a new technology comes where you discover gold, or you're able to, mine in more quantity, or you're able to make sure that new locations are found. Mm-hmm. So which means gold is not going to last forever. We're looking at 15, 20 years by existing technology. Mm-hmm. So every time there is a commodity which is in short supply, and let's not forget, this is one precious metal which can be traded around the world. You can go and sell and buy in any country. Well, yeah. Which other measure of value can be traded around the world? Around 70-80% of the world's trade happen in US dollar. Around 60% of the borrowings happen in US dollar. So when US dollar, I would like to reiterate, when US dollar is not being seen as a long-term bet because of the policies that the US has been implementing, especially in the last 1 year, whether it is tariffs, whether it is immigration related, any policy which affects your geo-economic equilibrium around the world, I think then if it is negatively tilted, it will automatically propel gold, because people, countries, banks, they all keep collecting gold. The demand for gold has been rising. And I would also like to clarify here, a lot of people believe that gold prices rise in India because of Dhanteras, because of Akshay Tritiya, because of the wedding season. Well, they do rise, but that rise is a few hundred rupees per 10 grams. Basically, gold prices originate from COMEX in New York. It's called commodity exchange. That's where gold prices open. And, personally, me and my team, we always analyze gold prices from America. So from $4,381 at its peak in COMEX. And that's where the Indian bullion market, it's called the Sarafa Bazaar Association. They pick up the prices from there. They convert from troy ounces to 10 grams, because we used to measure in tolas at one point of time. Now it's measured in 10 grams. We convert that troy ounce to 10 grams. We convert the US dollar to rupees. And that's how the gold prices open in India. So they don't get largely dominated by the local festivals. It is largely controlled, and it emanates from US, Lalima, is what I wanted to emphasize on.
Indeed, we have own inbuilt system of a mechanism in our economy where we have festivals like Dhanteras, and we have Diwali, and we have a lot of gold giving during marriage season. So I think that keeps it going. And India is the world's largest consumer of gold. On that note, gentlemen, thank you so much for discussing this important issue on our program.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on factors behind gold and silver price fluctuations. The participants were Sharad Kohli, Chandrasekhar Tilak, and Vishal Dahiya, economic analysts. Moderator was Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.
Money Talk.